We've been talking about temptation. Last time I shared was the three points that we're tempted in, remember? Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus was tempted in all points. Those points are what? 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we're going to be tested in and tempted in until we take our last breath. Those are not going to go away. We're always going to be tempted in those areas. And those areas come out of our selfishness. Because it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. And when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. So it's out of our own self-imposed desires that the enemy can work with. He only can work through your selfishness. And that's what he works at. He's always coming at your selfishness. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 3 real quick. I'm just doing a little recap and just a little groundwork before we get started. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now see, think about this. How'd the enemy come? He didn't come in this big dinosaur, big elephant, you know, a big rhinoceros, and put your foot on their neck and say, you know, do this, did he? He slithered in. You know, some little snake to get you to question what God said. And that's exactly the way it happens. You'll be out, you'll overhear someone's conversation, and it'll throw a question in your mind about what God said. Just when you least expect it. Telephone call, somebody call. They'll say something, get you to question what God has said about you. See, that's why it's so important to have your heart prepared. Because the enemy is always trying to get you to question and doubt what God has said to you and about you. See, we're raising our level of consciousness about this. Now look at this. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now let's look, here he comes again. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. See, he comes and he tries to switch everything that God has said. And that's the way he does us. That's why what God says in his word is so vital and so important to you and I for our direction in life, to get to the destiny that God has for us in the midst of all these storms. We're going to have to hold on to what God is saying and listen and be intently listening. Be purposeful about it and be aware of what other people are saying. Because folks, we're in another day and God is raising up a church that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, Satan is coming with lies. God comes with truth. And he wants you to know the truth about who he is and about who you are. Remember, love rejoices in the truth, not iniquity. Remember? 1 Corinthians 13:6. Now think about this. Now, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See right there, you will be like God. There's selfishness right there. See, Satan didn't become the devil because he hated God. He didn't come the devil because he couldn't stand God. He loved God. He worshiped God at one time. He wanted the credit. Selfishness. He didn't hate God. He wanted the credit. He wanted the glory. Now look, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, pride of life. There's those three points right there. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. I'm just showing you and letting you see how temptation works. And it's attacking our selfishness. And we need to learn how to combat selfishness. We're gonna talk about that today. And remember we talked about Rehoboam, how he fell into evil in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. It says that he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Remember what the word prepare means? It means to advance. It means direct. It means fixed. It means steadfast. So if your heart is steadfast, if it's fixed on seeking God, it's going to be ready when the temptation comes. Crisis is going to come. If you have the right perspective, crisis isn't going to have near the effect on your life as it does on a lot of people if you keep the right perspective. You know, the Asian people don't even have the word crisis in their vocabulary or their language. The Japanese and the Chinese don't even use the word crisis. It's not even in their language or their vocabulary. You know what the word is in place of it? Opportunity. That's why after World War II, the Japanese came out with Toyota and all this things that they made were high quality and did a number on the auto industry and a lot of other industry, electronics and all kinds of things in America. Out of ashes and a heap, they became one of the most competitors in the world. Are you with me? Because it's opportunity. Chinese are the most self-employed other than any other ethnic group. Chinese. Because opportunity. It's how you see things. And see, folks, when our heart is prepared, God is going to open your eyes. He's going to help you to see things in a much different way. Because He gives you vision. He gives you vision. And that's what we need. We need vision. Healthy vision. And that's perspective. If we have a right perspective, folks, we're going to see things in a whole different light. And if our heart is prepared, folks, we're going to be ready when the enemy comes. We're going to see him. Because see, he can't hurt you. All he can do is deceive you and get you distracted to look at something else and believe a lie. That's all he can do. He can't hurt you. All he can do is get you to believe a lie and to deceive you. That's all he can do. This is important, isn't it? All right, remember the idea of the concrete, the word prepared, if the concrete was fixed. Remember that friend of mine, he put those cones out in front of that driveway so the trucks couldn't back up because he laid concrete. And he told the truck drivers that, you know, you can't pull up on this concrete until it's fixed. Because when it's fixed, it's set, it's hardened, and the trucks won't leave an impression on it when they pull up on it. And so that's the idea of a prepared heart, a fixed heart. Things aren't going to leave impressions on it. You know, it could leave an impression that it can't get out, and they end up having to tear it up. See, that's the way it is. If your heart's not prepared, it might have to be repaired. You see? And if it has to be repaired, they're going to have to bust up the concrete. They're going to, you see what I mean? And tear it all out and redo it all again. That's what we want to avoid. If our heart's prepared, it won't have to be repaired. It'll be ready. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you'll make it and you'll get through it. Am I talking to the right people today? So now listen, go with me to Psalms chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will what? Prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. So now think about this. You have heard the desire of the humble. Now remember the word humble? Being humble is a way to prepare your heart. Did you catch that? If you're humble, God says He will prepare your heart. To be humble is to be dependent on God. Remember, what's the word humble mean? Where's the word humble taken from? The Hebrew word humus. And the word humus means dirt or earthy. And that's what it is. You're down to earth when you're humble. And then in the Hebrew language, the word earth means real. So you become real when you're dependent on God and you're becoming who you were really created to be. You're becoming the real you when you're dependent on God. You see that? That is so huge. It takes us to be humble for that to take place. God gives grace to the humble when we're dependent on Him. The number one reason, you know why young people don't want to come to church today? Hypocrisy. People aren't real. See, when we're real, people pick that up. Being humble attacks selfishness. There's no selfishness in being humble. That's why the opposite of humble is what? Pride. Pride, remember? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pride is one of the areas that we are really being attacked with temptation. And that comes from our selfishness. So, we're going to look today at being humble and selfishness. Pride. The word selfish means this. Concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself. Seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage. Pleasure or well-being without regard for others. You know, we can have this appearance that we're regarding for others. But folks, inside, we're selfish. You know what really comes at selfishness is serving. Serving. You know, the body of Christ is designed to serve. We all have gifts. All of us have gifts. God-given gifts. And you know what? We're to live our life out of those gifts. And we're to take that gift and we're to serve it in the body of Christ. And other people benefit from it. It's not just to come here and hear a message and, you know, go to church and go through the motions. Serving. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. That's what Jesus said. Folks, listen to me. When you begin to serve, now you're tapping into the supernatural. If you're just volunteering, you know what you're doing? You're only into the superficial. When you're just volunteering, I'm going to volunteer my help today. That's like the Kiwanis and the Moosehead Lodge and Fred and Barney and the boys. You know, I'm going to volunteer my time today. What's that? What? There's no cost in that. It's going to cost you to follow Christ. It's going to cost you to be what God really created you. It's going to hurt sometimes. Folks, when we begin to get concerned for other people and we put God first, man, that's attacking selfishness. You see that? And you know what that's doing? That's releasing power into your life. Folks, God has called you to serve. If there's needs help in the nursery, somebody ought to be in there. We ought to be knocking the door down to help out. Once a week, once a month, we can do that. God releases something in your life. When you take it all off of you and you're starting to serve, folks, that empower, that's doing something for you. Getting your mind and your heart off of you. See, we got to get our mind and hearts off ourselves because selfishness is the problem. And that's where the enemy comes in and tempts us. Depression, when you're depressed, that's nothing but selfishness. That's nothing but selfishness when you're depressed. Because, folks, if you're praising God, you're worshiping God. You see, God is on the throne, not you. You see that? When you're depressed, you know what? Who's on the throne? You are. You're focused on you. What's going to happen to me? I don't know. You know, you're just all depressed. That's pride. That's selfishness. Get a hold of this. If you are a whiny, complaining, disagreeable person, self-sufficient, always self-sufficient, self-dependent, and whiny and complaining and disagreeable, guess what? People don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around somebody complaining all the time and whining all the time. Do you? And you know what happens when we end up in a crisis? That's the first thing we want to start doing. We end up in a situation, we want to start complaining and whining about the circumstances and all that's happening to me and everything that's happening. But folks, if we get a healthy perspective and we have our hearts prepared, we're not going to see that way. We're going to see it as an opportunity. Because folks, listen to me. When you complain and you're always whining, people don't want to be around it. You need people. You need people. Become a person who encourages and builds people up. You know why? Because you need people. And people love to be encouraged. People love to be built up. Opportunities come through people. See, if you're a person who's negative and complaining all the time, opportunities aren't going to come your way. And people aren't going to come your way because they don't want to be around you. We all need that. Every one of us need that. It's not about how your feelings are and how your emotions are or what somebody did to you. I'm talking about divorce. I'm talking about losing your job. I'm talking about losing a loved one. Those are crisis situations. But you know what, folks? We can get through them and we can get over them. And they won't take you out. Am I talking to the right people? If your heart is prepared and you're going to God, He's going to prepare your heart. Somehow people think because you're a Christian, you're going to be able to avoid. Now I'm going to become a Christian now and go do things right and everything's not going to. It's probably going to get worse. That's been my experience. But you know what? You're becoming the real you. It's no more superficial. It's now I'm becoming the real person I'm supposed to be. What you focus on increases. Your focus on negativity, guess what's going to increase in your life? Negativity. If you're focused on the vision that God has for you and what He has for you, what's going to increase in your life? God's plan and purpose for you. Fulfillment. This idea of selfishness is something that we are all going to have to combat. And humility is the key. Becoming humble. Because pride, God hates pride, doesn't He? God hates pride. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife. And in the Old King James, it says, only by pride comes contention. Now, you know, I looked up that word only in the Hebrew, and you know what it means? Only? It means only. Only by pride comes contention. Whenever you get angry and want to snap back and fight back, guess what? That's pride. That's pride. Folks, we got to quit this arguing and wanting to prove our point and we're right. Arguing, I'm going to tell you what, if you're arguing all the time, that's pride. You're trying to prove your point on the job or trying to prove your point to your wife or your husband and you're going to argue all the time, that's strife and that's pride. That's selfishness. They were breathing down Jesus' neck. Guards had him in prison. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he what? He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb is led to the slaughter, and as the sheep is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. Folks, we got to quit defending ourselves. When we defend ourselves, what is that? Pride and selfishness. The Bible says vengeance is mine. That's a lack of our trust in God. If we just get that, it'll remove contention and strife. I'm going to tell you, strife is what destroys homes, marriages, churches, businesses. Strife. It's the spirit of strife. And you know what it's rooted? Pride. It destroys businesses, homes, churches, and it's ugly. And that's why it takes humility and a prepared heart to receive what God has for you and get direction from Him. Remember, the word prepare also means to direct. God will give you direction if your heart is prepared. When we are, have you ever been around shy people and they're real timid? That's pride. That's selfishness. When somebody's shy, that's selfishness. They're worried about what people think or what people are going to say or if they're going to make a mistake in front of somebody. You know what? That's the way I used to be. I still have pride, but I'm just saying. I was in high school, and I'll tell you what, I was in speech class, and I didn't want to do these speeches for nothing, and I had to take speech. And I remember this teacher said, you got to do this, or you're gonna flunk. But I had to take this in order to graduate. Well, I did a speech on Abraham Lincoln, and I got up there, what are they going to, pride. I was reeking with it. I had that CUDA driving by looking at myself in the windows at the bank, I thought I had it going on, what I'm saying? And I couldn't even get up in front of anybody and give a little speech. But I thought I was it, I know none of you are like that. But after I did that speech, that teacher told me, everybody clapped. Everybody clapped and they stood up and clapped. And the teacher said, Fred Gillenwater, you got a gift and you don't realize it. Because I started going off on Abraham Lincoln. I was up there telling him about it. I was telling them all about Abraham Lincoln and what he did, And, they just somehow liked it. So I started getting out of that, that selfish, what other people think idea. You see that? That's what timidity and that being shy is all about. You ever hear somebody that say, well, we want you to sing today. They'll get up and they'll say, well, I can't sing, but I'm going to try to do this, and this might work. And they get up and they sing like a songbird, and everybody's just real blessed by it. And then you find out they've been taking singing lessons for 40 years, and And then you see them in the grocery store, and you tell them, you say, yeah, you're right, you did sing like a sorry old cow the other night. Then they think, what? Then the real them would come out, wouldn't it? See, that's false humility. See, that's pride right there. See, I'm trying to show us our selfishness so that we can get a hold of this and not allow things to distract us and take us off track. Am I making sense? Oh, this is huge. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is what we're wrestling with. Selfishness. This is it. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. For I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was put in prison. And you know what? He wasn't praising God because he thought that the chains were going to fall off and the doors were going to be open and all the prison inmates were going to be released. That's not why he was praising God. He was praising God for who God was. And that's what he just praised God for who God was. And when, as he did that, that happened. The supernatural happened. And you know what? He didn't even leave after the door. He stayed there and kept praising God and witnessing for God. He didn't even run out. I'm free. I can go. No, he stayed there. That's humility, isn't it? That's humble. I was in the grocery store the other day. This kid wanted something, you know, standing in line. You know how they have the shelves for all the kids to see everything? So this kid wanted something that was on the shelf. I think it was one of them, the little baby bottle with the nipple on it and the powder stuff. But anyways, the mother said, no, put that back. You had stuff earlier. No, said it 5 or 6 times, you know. The kid just got louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, she gives it to him. You know what that was? Selfishness. On her part, she was worried about what it was making her look like and what everybody was thinking in the grocery store. Because, man, it was getting loud. Thought I took that kid. I'd have fixed his britches up right in front of everybody. Oh, yeah. You know what? My kids tried that once with me out in the public. I let them know, being in the public don't change things. But anyways, what was that mother teaching that child? Selfishness. She was being selfish because she was worried about what everybody was thinking. The child was, if I shout louder and scream louder, I get what I want. You see that? It's just ongoing. Folks, this is something that we have to get a hold of. And you know what? It's never going to leave because you're in there, right? You're there. What's that? How's that saying go, Sandy? Oh, wherever you go, there you are. I like that. You're not going to get away from it. Wherever you go, there you are, right? Self cannot be satisfied. It must be denied. When we esteem others and put others first and put God first, that takes it all off of us. And now we're in a position for God to move in our life. Now, that's why he says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we are concerned, when we got God on the throne, and we are concerned with others before ourselves, that takes some effort, doesn't it? That takes prayer, doesn't it? That takes you being humble to put others before you. That's what it takes. And that's where our hearts are going to be prepared for what we have to face in this life. Man, I just tell you what now. This is a right on time word. If you get a hold of this, this is going to help you. Because folks, there's been 5 million jobs lost since January in America. 5 million. That's a lot of jobs. There's some hurting people out there, isn't there? But you know what? God has called the church to be a beacon, a light for others. You know what? If we get a hold of this, folks, we're going to be effective and our influence is going to increase and we're going to be what God created us to be. A humble person doesn't care if they get exalted or if they're debased. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they get credit or if somebody dogs them. It just don't matter. When you're humble, you got power. You got the grace of God on you. Even the loss of a loved one. You know, the grieving process is natural. And, you know, we're all, you know, I lost my dad. I did my dad's funeral. I tell you, my dad was, you know, at one time everything to me. But you can't hang out in grief. It becomes selfishness. Now think about what I'm saying. When you lose a loved one and you're just, you just stay grieving, think about this. It's not your great love for them. It's your great love for yourself because it changed your world. And you're not going to get to see them graduate, or you're not going to get to see this, or you're not going to get to go do this with them, or you're not. It's about you. I'm not being cruel. I'm trying to show you something about selfishness. And especially if you know they're gone to be with Jesus and you believe that, there ought to be some joy in that. I actually had some joy when my dad went home because I knew. You know, some of us go to the doctor and they give us this, we sing, what's that song? What a joyful time it will be in heaven. And it's all about getting to heaven. And then we go to the doctor and we hear we might end up going there. We get all depressed. Why? That's selfishness. We can change that even if we believe what God says about healing, right? And about what all he has for us. You know, remember when Jesus said, I have to go away now, and it's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, it's going to be better for you. And the disciples began to get upset because Jesus was going to be crucified. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, and they were thinking like, well, if he gets killed, what's going to happen to us? I gave up my fishing business. I thought he was the Messiah. He's going to be with God? You see that? You see the selfishness in that? See, when we get awareness of this, it can really change your perspective. It frees you up to be a person that people want to be around. You know, it frees you up to be a person that people are glad are coming. You know what I'm saying? Because a person that's always, you know, sometimes you look the other way and go around the corner. Be a person that people want to be around. And that's not a selfish person. Go with me to Numbers chapter 12 real quick. Numbers 12, 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. You know, it was an interracial marriage. We should never speak against an interracial marriage. Verse 2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it? Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very what? Humble. More than all men who were on the face of the earth. You know who wrote that? Moses. Moses wrote that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I think that's pretty good, don't you? But you know what? It's because God let him know that. And he believed it. You know, what if I said, okay, everybody, bow your heads, and we're going to pray, and I want the most humble person to come forward after our prayer. And some of you bowed your head, and God said, you're it. Would you come forward? God told you, you're the most humble. Would you come forward? You think you would? See, a lot of us wouldn't, because we would think that would blow it just by us coming forward, right? If God says you're the most humble, right? You are, and you have to believe it. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. You see, when you have a low self-esteem, that's selfishness. That's just as bad as thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. The balance is to think of yourself the way God says. See, low self-esteem is pride. That's the other end of the spectrum of pride. Now look at this, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. There's that grace. God gives grace to the humble, right? Verse 13. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence, this is Moses now, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, we're staying put. That right there shows how humble Moses was. Moses said, I'm not taking another step without your presence. His dependency upon God. And folks, that's the way we need to be. And that takes humility. That takes us being humble.